Today we start things off with some truth about living in New Jersey. We are a commuter state, and the roads we commute on are becoming an increasing disaster. Now, when you add to that how the Transportation Trust Fund, which supplies funding for road repair and construction projects, is near death financially, the future does not get much brighter, does it? My first guest today has a solution to this fiscal challenge that provides a long-range financial stability with as little burden to taxpayers as possible. Yes, it does involve a tax increase. When that first point is mentioned, people immediately stop listening to what I believe, at least, is a good idea, so I've invited him here to give him the opportunity to present his full plan to fund the Transportation Trust Fund for the long term while keeping the burden off of taxpayers as well as and especially property owners here in New Jersey. He is the state senator from New Jersey's 24th District, also serves on the State Senate Budget and Appropriations Committee as well as the Economic Growth Committee, Senator Steve Arho. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Chris, and thank you very much for having me. And your lead-in was exactly perfect because, actually, Chris, there's been, I'm going to call it a sham. I don't think it's intentional. I hope it's not intentional. But unfortunately, there's been a falsehood perpetrated about the Transportation Trust Fund and who is paying what. So I did some research, and what it comes out to, when I scheduled out what was happening, people had thought that, oh, the Transportation Trust Fund is going to run out of money on June 30th. Well, I did all the research, and then I looked at the existing debt service, forget any future costs, right, of construction.
Right.
And what I found was it's been years since the existing gas tax is enough to even pay for the existing debt service. Then I look further in and dig in further into the budget, and in the coming year, there will be $546 million that gets transferred from the general fund into the Transportation Trust Fund. Now, the key thing to realize about that is the Transportation Trust Fund should be funded approximately, I would say, two-thirds by in-state drivers and a third by out-of-state drivers, all right? Because out-of-state drivers, it's really a user for, you know, to help pay for that infrastructure. Well, for years, that amount of money coming from the gas tax has not been enough just to pay existing debt service. So then, when I figured it out, I called the state auditor, I got some background information, I got the debt schedule of all the existing debt that's for the Transportation Trust Fund. I also confirmed with Office of Legislative Services, and I said, no, you're right. So I scheduled it out, and I found out when was the first time the existing gas tax was enough to cover the debt service that is there right now. And it's not until 2042. So 25 years from now, New Jersey, for 25 years and for a few years in the past, New Jersey residents have been shouldering 100% of the burden over the amount that the gas tax provides. Now, when you schedule it out on a very reasonable basis over those 25 years, it is, and here's the sham. Everybody thinks they're getting a break because of the low gas tax, but they're giving you candy in one hand and they're picking your pocket with the other. If the score is, and it's like golf, the higher the score, the worse.
Right.
$81 billion for the next 25 years, New Jersey taxpayer, out-of-state drivers will share zero in that burden. Now, that's because for the next 25 years, the existing gas tax will not be enough to even cover the current debt service. So that means the general fund is to do one of two things. Bring all that $81 billion onto the state budget, or billion would it be, or they'd have to make $81 billion worth of transfers over those 25 years into the Transportation Trust Fund, just to pay for the roads and bridges under the New Jersey Department of Transportation jurisdiction, as well as the major impact is also going to be on property taxes, because in that $81 billion number that I was able to research, and Chris, quite frankly, $81 billion is at least $81 billion. It could easily be over $100 billion. But I didn't want everybody to say Borjo's dramatizing the numbers.
Yeah.
So I tried to be as, understated as possible. And so at least $81 billion, and in that number, there's $10 billion that will fall directly to local property taxes. And so that would represent a 40% increase completely outside the budget cap. So doesn't provide for any police or fire, community services, nothing. And so anyway, when I found this out, I scheduled it out, I showed some, my colleagues on and said, how did you figure this out? I said, well, it was easy. I got the debt service schedule I've been a financial planner for a long time. And one of the things I do is I project out what's going to happen. And it's pretty easy when you see currently your revenue stream that's used for a user fee to help pay for the infrastructure is not enough. Obviously, that infrastructure still has to be maintained. So I said, here's what we need to do. And we have that's one significant problem. Then the other significant problem we have is at the same time, New Jersey is, and we've talked about this before, and I've been harping about it. New Jersey is losing income and assets because of our high tax structure. Now, somebody would sit there and say, well, why are you going to raise the gas tax then? Well, here's the issue. The New Jersey resident is already paying 100%. So my plan is deal with these two issues at the same time, one of which would have us shift about anywhere between 25 to 28 to $30 billion of that $81 billion to out of state drivers, and through a some sort of user fee, which the easiest way generally is through some form of gas tax. Some people talked about tolls and whatnot. However, you can't. You're only allowed to toll one federal interstate in the state itself, so that really doesn't work as well. So, but then in exchange for that, in order to help stop the out-migration of income and assets, provide for major tax relief, one of which would be eliminate the draconian estate tax that we have, because it starts at $675,000. So if you have a 401k, a house, or something, many people end up paying about $19,000 in once you go over that $675,000. Then also provide, and this is a great one for our retiree community. Right now, you're allowed to exclude on your New Jersey tax return, income tax return, not your federal. For your New Jersey tax return, you're allowed to exclude as a married couple at $20,000. Now, as a single or a head of household, there's a commensurate lower amount, but you're allowed to exclude the first $20,000. And that's, your pension, your IRA, your 401k, your 403b, your 457, your IRA, your annuities, anything that's used for retirement. And we're going to raise that from $20,000 five times up to $100,000, with commensurate increases for single and had a household and whatnot. Then the third major piece is New Jersey is a gross income state. Basically, you get very little deductions. Today, you essentially get two. One is you can deduct your property taxes up to $10,000 on your tax return. The second one is to the extent that your medical expenses are above 2% of your adjusted gross income, you can deduct anything above that 2%. We're going to provide a tax deduction for charitable contributions given to safety net provider organizations, similar to, like, for example, your food pantries, your homeless shelters, your veterans organizations, some of the hospital foundations, anything that quite right now is providing putting burden on the state budget. I said to him, listen, stop looking at the cost of what it costs the state treasury. Think about it. For 3 cents on the dollar, for 3 cents on the dollar, if we get a tax deduction for that, we will have billions of dollars coming back for our New Jersey charities. And people say, well, why is that, Steve? And I said, because right now, because of our tax laws, particularly our state tax law, many people who want to prove that they don't live in New Jersey, they may have two houses. They may have one in New Jersey, one in Pennsylvania. They may have one in New Jersey, one in North Carolina, one in New Jersey, one in Florida, one in New Jersey, one in Texas. And what they do is they want to make sure they stay out of the state for 183 days. The other thing they do is their advisors will tell them, if you want to prove you don't live in New Jersey, don't give to charities in New Jersey. And that has been billions of dollars that have been lost to our charities. And then what happens is, like, for example, a great organization, CASA, the Court-Appointed Special Advocates for Children, they obviously try and fundraise and whatnot. And when they can't fundraise enough and the state does give them money, a lot of these organizations have to come before us on the budget committee and say, we're losing our contributions, we're losing our resources, can we have a further appropriation from the state? And so if we have those three major issues themselves and a few other little small ones, that over that same 25-year period will equate to better than $25 billion in additional tax relief. So when you think about it, in my plan is you're going to offer, right now, New Jersey residents are paying 100% of the $81 billion. You're going to offload between, somewhere between $25 and $28 billion to out-of-staters of that $81 billion, and then provide tax relief of another $25. So as opposed to the $81 billion, I'm going to look to give people tax relief somewhere between, $45 and $50 billion because our structure has been a sham. And as I said, I don't know if it's been intentional or people hadn't wanted to talk about it, but I've had so many people ask me, how did you figure this out? I said, well, it's what I do for a living.
Talking with State Senator Steve Arho here on Issues and Ideas. I'm reading your plan and I'm hearing the various aspects of it too. And I hark back to when I think Reagan had to go through with this and George H.W. Bush had to go through with this. They wanted to cut the budget, and the Democrats then who were in charge of Congress said, okay, well, we'll cut the budget, but only after you raise the taxes. Raise the taxes first, and we'll come back and talk about the budget cuts and spending cuts later, and those talks never happened. With your plan, is this a one and all, or are you going to is there any chance where the idea could be split up, the gas tax now, and they'll talk about the other stuff later?
No, here's what we're going to do as part of the bill that I'm doing, as part of the plan that I'm doing. Just exactly what you said, Chris, is going to happen. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do one plan right now, right, to restructure. This is what I did, to restructure. And as part of that, I was a member of we talked about the Unemployment Insurance Task Force.
Right.
That we had to put together because we had a $2.5 billion deficit in the unemployment insurance fund. And then, because of the changes we made, and it takes time. It takes a lot of work. I served on that committee with Commissioner Hal Wirth and Assemblyman Gary Chisano. And it does take time. And unfortunately, the legislative process or the regulatory process can take some time. And you'll find some hurdles you got to go over, whether contractual hurdles or process hurdles, or just trying to convince people that it's the right thing to do. And similar to what I've done on the Red Tape Review Commission, those kind of things, we would have a commission that would say, there's some of these plans where people are saying, well, we should cut the costs. I said, we should do that anyway. Absolutely right. But you also have to get the right structure. Because with the right structure and the tax cuts I'm going to get as part of that right structure, it's not exclusive or mutually exclusive to what we should do for reducing costs on the budget. Because if we can reduce the cost on the budget with some of those other, cost efficiencies, and I wholeheartedly agree, there is more than enough debt that can be paid off through as a result of those efficiencies. So what we should be doing is get the structure right and go after the efficiencies all at the same time. And Chris, it's something we can definitely do.
And certainly a plan that would, as opposed to like the Democrats are saying, reinstate the millionaire's tax. But as a state senator just said a few moments ago, what are the wealthy have the capability of doing when they're getting overtaxed? Yeah, they leave. So instead of getting a piece of something, you wind up getting absolutely nothing out of those taxpayers. And I know it's tough, too, trying to communicate the numbers verbally. But if you go to oroho.senatenj.com, you can see the plan in greater detail and get past that point where some people are not going past, and that is the increase of the gas tax. We explain how it's balanced, how the taxpayer actually comes out ahead of the game when everything's said and done, and the out-of-state people start chipping in and ponying up their fair share of using the New Jersey roads, which if you are a driver in New Jersey, you certainly know they need all the help they could possibly get. So again, you can learn more at oroho.senatenj.com. He is the state senator for New Jersey's 24th District, sits on the State Senate Budget and Appropriations Committee, as well as the Economic Growth Committee. Senator Steve Orho, thanks as always for filling us in, for coming up with an idea that has some foundation to it and long-lasting benefits. Thanks for being here this morning.
Chris, thank you very much for the opportunity. Really appreciate it.